Well, good morning, church. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be with the saints. For those of you who don't remember, we have the outing over at the fire department this afternoon, so that'll be a good time for fellowship, a good time for community. As I was preparing for today, I was drawn back to this. It's a call to radical commitment by Rick Warren that Kathy gave us last week in Sunday school, and it was really, really amazing. And I've titled the lesson today "Fully Committed," out of a verse from 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." He's watching us. It says His eyes are checking us out. He's looking at us. He's watching us to see if we're fully committed to Him, if our hearts are fully committed to Him. There's a lot of stuff that goes with that, and we're going to begin in 1 Kings today. Chapter 8, if you want to turn there while I'm... But if you would, just pray with me before we begin. I'm just ask the Lord to do His thing this morning. Father, I thank You this morning for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for that you have called us to a life that is fully committed to You. Father, we're not going our own way, but that we're going the way that You've called us to go. Father, You've bought us with the price. You paid the ultimate price for each one of our lives, for each one of our hearts, Lord. And so this morning we give them to You. We just are willing to say this morning that we are Yours to be with as You want, Father. So Lord, have Your way today. Don't let me get in Your way, but that You'll just say through me the things that You want the body of Christ to hear today. Father, that we can grow in You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Call to radical commitment. He says, "Today I am stepping over the line. I'm tired of waffling. I'm finished with wavering. I've made my choice. The verdict is in, and my decision is irrevocable. I'm going God's way, and there's no turning back now." For those of you who've been coming to Sunday school, you know we've been studying Rick Warren, the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, for probably 3 years now. We're halfway through it, probably, something like that, maybe a little more than halfway. It's been really, really awesome. He also has a book called The Purpose-Driven Church. I have not read it, but I expect it to be just as good as the other one. Rick Warren has a church in California, I believe it is, called Saddleback Church, and he's pastored there for a lot of years. I don't know how many, but he's just a man that's really committed to the Lord. And this is when he made that commitment. And I'm not sure when this was written. It doesn't say anything about that here, when he made that commitment. But it says, "I'll give the rest of my life. I'll live the rest of my life serving God's purposes with God's people, on God's planet, for God's glory. I will use my life to celebrate His presence, cultivate His character, participate in His family, demonstrate His love, and communicate His word. Since my past has been forgiven, I will have a purpose for living and a home waiting for me in heaven. I refuse to waste any more time or energy on shallow living, petty thinking, trivial talking, thoughtless doing, useless regretting, hurtful resenting, or faithless worrying. Instead, I will magnify God, grow to maturity, serve in ministry, and fulfill my mission in the membership of His family. Because this life is a preparation for the next, I will value worship over wealth, we over me, character over comfort, service over status, and people over possessions, position, and pleasures. I know what matters most, and I'll give it all I've got. I'll do the best I can with what I have for Jesus Christ today. I won't be captivated by culture, manipulated by critics, motivated by praise, frustrated by problems, debilitated by temptation, or intimidated by the devil. I'll keep running my race with my eyes on the goal, not the sidelines or those running by me. When times get tough and I get tired, I won't back up, back off, back down, back out, or backslide. I'll just keep moving forward by God's grace. I'm spirit-led, purpose-driven, and mission-focused, so I cannot be bought, I will not be compromised, and I will not quit until I finish the race. I'm a trophy of God's grace, so I will be gracious to everyone, grateful for every day, and generous with everyone that God entrusts to me. To my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I say, however, whenever, wherever, and whatever you ask me to do, my answer in advance is yes. Wherever you lead, whatever the cost, I'm ready. Anytime, anywhere, anyway. Whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to be used by you in such a way that on that final day, I hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in and let the eternal party begin. Today I affirm this commitment to God and submit to His plans and purposes for my life, no matter what it takes. So will you commit today with me to a life, to a heart that's fully committed to God? Let's go now to 1 Kings chapter 8. I want to begin in verse 56. This is a blessing of Solomon's. You'll see in the rest of 1 Kings 8, it's a prayer that Solomon had for the church at that time and for his kingdom. Solomon was king at this point. And it said there in verse 54, it says, when Solomon had finished all of his prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose before the altar, from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. And he stood then and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, so he's, this is a blessing to the people. He said, praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave to his servant Moses. And we can say that today, that not one word that the Father has promised has failed. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts toward him, to walk in all his ways, to keep the commands, decrees and regulations that he gave our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. But your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, who live by his decrees and obey his commands, as at this time. And then he goes on to dedicate the temple, and you all know the rest of the history of Solomon, what a man of wisdom he was. We're going to go from there to chapter 6 of Romans today. I'm going to spend the bulk of our time in Romans today. This is just a chapter that talks about holy living, about the way we should live our lives. being dead to sin and alive to Christ. Just a lot of things here that show us how we should live as we're walking with a heart that's fully committed to Him. And Paul begins here. He's writing to the Romans there, and he says, "What shall we say then? Should we go on sinning so that grace can increase, so that grace may abound? Should we just go on sinning? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So that we know that when we come to the Father and we give up on our old life here, that we're changed. We give up that old life and we take on the new life in Jesus Christ. We don't continue to live in the old, but we walk in newness of life. So if we've been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. So because Christ has conquered death, that's how we can live with Him forever. Hallelujah. So death no longer has mastery. The death He died to sin once for all of us. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Thank God for His grace. Without God's grace, none of us are worthy to be His disciples. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Glory to God. We are no longer slaves to sin. We don't have to obey the enemy anymore. But we can be slaves to righteousness. Paul says, I put this in human terms because you're weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity, through ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. Now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to God. So we're living a life now that is designed for holiness. We're trying to, some of the song we sing, holiness, holiness is what I live, long for. Holiness is what I love. Hallelujah. So we're looking for a life of holiness, to walk in His love, to walk in His grace. We're no longer walking a life of sin. We're no longer living a life as we did when we were dead to sin. The penalty for sin in the Bible was death. If you read your Old Testament, if you go along and read there, where there was a lot of people just killed because they sinned, and that was the law back then. In the Old Testament, that was the law when the children of Israel were brought out of the Promised Land and are brought into the Promised Land, and walking in with the Lord there, they had to walk uprightly. And you remember, as they were walking through the wilderness, a lot of them who sinned didn't get to go into the Promised Land. They actually died in the wilderness because of their sin. But because of the grace of God, we can walk in newness of life. We can walk in eternity with Christ because of what He did on the cross. In Joshua chapter 24, let's just turn back there if you don't mind. Joshua, Judges, back here in the beginning of your Bible, chapter 24. This is the story of Joshua, and he's got the 12 tribes of Israel there. And verse 14, I really keyed in on verse 15, but I want to just begin there at verse 14. It says, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods that your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." But he says there in verse 15, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves today," or this day, "choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in those in whose land that you're now living." But Joshua says, "But as for me and my house, my household, we will serve the Lord." I can remember that verse hanging in our house at home when I was a kid. That's one of them that we have on the wall in our house today. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And we all have to commit to that. We all have to commit to that. It takes being fully committed to walk with the Lord day in and day out. We've been talking, almost all three of us who preach have been talking about the troubles that we go through. We've been talking about trusting in the Lord in everything that we do, not worrying, but learning to trust Him and living without anxiety, living without worry. But today, I want to challenge you to say, for your household, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will walk wholeheartedly before Him all the days of our life. There's a lot of verses, a lot of scriptures that go along with this. I'm not going to keep you a long time and keep repeating myself today, but that's what the Lord told me to share with you today, was have a heart that's fully committed to Him. Because there in 2 Chronicles 16:9 it says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." So He'll strengthen your heart. We can trust Him. He'll take us through everything that we're going through. As you all know, some days are a little harder than others, but they're all good. Praise the Lord. So if any of you have a prayer need this morning, as the praise team comes, leads us in a final song today. If you have a prayer need, if you have something you'd love to pray with us about, let's come up and we'll pray with you. If we have anybody today who has never accepted the Lord as your Savior and you'd like to do that, we'd love to make time for that. So if you have never accepted Jesus as Lord, if you want to do that today, come up, we'll pray with you, and we'll show you how to do that.